Good morning, everybody. This is Urs Gadeker. Welcome to our Commetrics webinar coffee break series. I hope you have a sunny morning as we have over here in Switzerland, but it's actually, I think I'm worried, it's getting to be a little bit cold. So let me just go into the presentation. Today we have about 9 slides we're going to talk about, and then there are some slides at the end which I'll ask you just to look at. So we're now on, I'm going to move it to slide 2. You see again that co-hosting with me is Deborah. We decided to do a little bit of different format. She's going to focus on the chat box and I'm going to do the presentation. And if there is anything, we're going to do the discussions in the end. So, okay. So now Peggy also doesn't have a microphone, but we'll deal with that. So if you guys have a question, just ask it in the chat box. So without much further ado, I'm going to go to slide number 3, which actually outlines what we're going to talk about today. In particular, I wanted to point out that the focus today, of course, as you know, is on Twitter. My favorite, my little favorite tool, I should say. And I kind of wanted to discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly about Twitter. So I have this presentation. You may have also seen on the blog this morning that we've had a post about Twitter being a glorified autoresponder. It's kind of addressing also this issue, but a little bit from a different angle. And it discusses things which came up with two of my customers and one possible customer who asked me some things, and I didn't really have the right answers right away, so I thought we'd discuss it here. So let me go to the next slide. Brand and reputation. Compliance is an issue. Even though nobody really talks about compliance when we discuss Twitter and other things, one of the problems with what we have with Twitter is that once the slide goes out, once you send it out, you're responsible for it. And just for those of us who are working in Germany, we already have a case where somebody sent out a direct message using Twitter and got taken to court. And the court actually issued an order and said, this is spam. You have violated German spam law. So if you send a direct message to somebody in Germany using Twitter saying anything about your product, you may actually violate the German spam law. So before you do, and the case here is quite interesting on this particular slide, because it actually illustrates that people retweeted here without reading. So before you retweet, you need to, for instance, check that the link is actually working, because when you check how Viadeo, which is another platform like Xing, retweeted one of our tweets, they didn't really check. I mean, they issued a tweet on tinyurl, but if you try, you can't get anything, and the other people just redid it. So in a kind of way, this makes you look stupid. So please, I mean, rule number one, before you tweet something, go and check if it links to a web page which actually has material which doesn't get you into trouble. Because in Germany, we also just had a case in April in Frankfurt where somebody got a cease and desist order and had to pay fines because they tweeted a link to a web page which was bad-mouthing a corporation. So this is kind of another thing you want to look at. So the first rule of the day is basically, before you retweet anything, before you send out a link, go to that particular web page, check it, and do it. Now this may sound logical, but as the next slide shows, 5, that's not always the case. Because what people tend to do is people tend to use Twitter like a megaphone. And so they may do automatic retweets. So for instance, I can go to your company's blog, put its RSS feed into a program which is called Twitter Feed, for which we have information way at the back how you use this. And then whenever you post something on your blog, it takes your RSS feeds and sends it out as a tweet on my Twitter feed. Of course, if this happens at 1 o'clock, because we kind of post at 1 o'clock in the morning, you surely aren't able to first check if I said anything obscene or did anything crazy or stupid. So at this stage, you can actually feed your Twitter feed into LinkedIn, or you can put it on your Facebook wall. There are all kinds of things. I just had, I have two examples here. One is SUPR, which actually is from StumbleUpon. And StumbleUpon was a company which was taken over by eBay. And it's a scheduler. It allows you to schedule your tweets. It's quite nice because it also gives you graphics and charts, what people do. Then there's something else called ping.fm, which is owned by Seismic, which allows you to post everything and anything to several places all at once. And that's actually quite neat. And I had thought I had... I will later show you a screenshot of Ping FM so you see what I actually do. So you don't have to go everywhere. And then I ask you also to consider, if you go on Twitter or if your company is on Twitter, to also consider something called Identica. Identica is an open platform, meaning it's a company which designed the Twitter, made it open source, and everybody can use it. The advantage with Identica is that Google finds your tweets much faster. So if you ever want to find your tweet again, because looking on Twitter is cumbersome, Google finds it quicker on Identica, and it always has, and I will give you a demonstration about this as well. This brings me to our slide 6, actually, and talks about Identica. And here I give you the example about searching. I show you two search results. On the left side, I use the term Commetrics, Identica, Metrics, and Einstein. So what's the logic? Okay, it goes for my tweets on Identica with a hashtag Metrics, and in the tweet there was the word Einstein. And as you can see with the yellow markings, it found it right away on Identica, or as the tweet. It didn't find it on Google. To the right side, you have it on Twitter. So I put in the same Commetrics, Twitter, Metrics, and Einstein, and Google couldn't really find it as quick. Okay, it comes way, way down. So it can find it. Now, why do you care? Sometimes when I say something smart, you think about, or you have a smart thought and you tweet about it, you may want to find it again and send the link to somebody else. Use it like I do in a blog post as a screenshot. And to do that, Identica is great because everything can be found. Now, if you're on Identica, I never really hang out on Identica. I really tweet on Twitter. But I have set it up in such a way that it goes to Identica and Identica forwards it to Twitter. So there's a thing which says connect, so every tweet which goes to Identica then also goes to Twitter. I'll show you in about two slides how this works. It's actually quite simple. So the reason why you want Identica is that Google finds it on the search thing. The retweet is actually necessary because if you type RT at and then the at sign, it actually improves the credibility of somebody else, because if you retweet somebody else's tweet, it shows that you thought it was a good tweet, and so doing the RT is quite necessary. Gives credit where credit is due. Something I also reformulate the tweet, and then I just say at the end via at Löwenmut or whatever the tweeter may be. That's also a nice way of doing it. On slide 7, which I show you right now, is I showed you how to use Ping FM. Okay, and Ping FM is better than a ghetto blaster. Okay, although I hate these things. But as you can see, For instance, on the left, where you see the red markings, Google Status and Identica, these are all the places where I post. So if I post into this window here, where I said RT at Commetrics, if I post in there, it goes out to Twitter, it goes out to another Twitter account, which I have, it goes out to my Facebook wall, it goes out to the Facebook fan page, which I have for Commetrics, it goes to my Google Talk status window, LinkedIn, it also goes out to Identica, and Identica then forwards it to Twitter, Commetrics, and then I have Friend Feed, which is now owned by Facebook, but it's not really fully integrated with Facebook, but it's still neat. Friend Feed is also something which Google finds very easy. Jaiku is another one, Blaxo is my business cards, Delicious is the linking, and Yahoo, and this is kind of a distribution portal. That's why I said it's like a mega ghetto blaster. Okay, it's like sending it to your TV station, to your email account, and all kinds of other things all in once. It saves time. And the other important thing what you have here is I used 131 elements with the retweet. I wanted to also make sure that you understand, to make it easy for people to retweet, because they don't want any work, you have to keep your tweets no longer than 125. I think Stan actually has to go down to 122 because the IFB underscore Löwenmuth is quite long. So that when the person retweets, like I did here, retweet at Commetrics, it's still under 140 and you can still have a tag. Here it has a hashtag at the end called metrics. Hashtags are usually at the end unless, like in this tweet, they're part of the text, like webinar and Twitter. Okay, so this is kind of one big distribution portal that you can use, and I can only recommend it. It makes things really easier, and it's one of several I use, but this one I like the most because it's the easiest, and I'm a little bit a lazy person. So this brings me to slide number 8, and this actually addresses the issue about branding. Okay, here I used a link which then brought the person right to my particular blog post. And I brought this actually because Susan Ulrich last time, and she couldn't make it today, raised a very important issue. She said, how can I link Twitter with my blog? And Stan yesterday made a comment in the Xing group, or wrote a comment, where you said, Xing has been very helpful to drive traffic to your foundation's webpage, although a time-consuming venture it has been. And this is what I do here. I put out the link for the blog, and then the people go to the blog. So the key strategy here is that you have to get people to go to your destination. And the blog, for instance, Peggy has asked that once earlier, but the blog could then again have a link which allows me to download a PDF file from the company's webpage. So these things are all kind of linked together. Now the tweet which you see in the above screenshot, I sent out twice, slightly different. I sent out once at 1 o'clock our time in the morning, which is around 4 o'clock California time, because I have a lot of followers from California or the Pacific US, and they're 9 hours behind. And then I did another one around 7:15 in the morning our time here in Europe, and that gets a lot of my followers who are riding the train and use the iPhone, or who just get to the office. So what this says is, if you have a very good tweet and you do it at very different times to suit your followers, you actually get different people to click on it. And it can sometimes happen that one tweet gets retweeted quite a lot. What you can also see at the lower screenshot at the right, it says 8 tweets. That means I have a plugin for the blog which actually shows how many people have tweeted or retweeted it. Right. That brings us to the conclusion. I kind of tried to wrap it kind of up. I think you have to watch your risks. So my big suggestion is don't retweet automatically. Worry about the defamation laws, which we have in Germany as well as in the US. And as a European group, you don't want to be taken to court in the US anyway. But the same issue can also happen in Germany, because we already have cases in Germany where this happened. You should actually preset your tweets so that they maybe go out one at 7 a.m. our time, so when people are on their way to work or just when they get into work. And another one when you think most of your reviewers who are in other time zones will be available. Now, we know in the US when it's 4 o'clock in California, it's 7 o'clock in New York, and there's less tweeting going on, but there are apparently still a lot of people online at that time, so it's good to tweet then. You have to use the same image across these different platforms. There's a guy called Weiner, which I mentioned at one of the other slides, which you see at the end, which I won't show during this presentation. And he actually says you might need a different persona or image or whatever for Facebook, LinkedIn, or Xing versus Twitter. And I would recommend against that. I mean, if you are company X, you have one image all across all the platforms. While the interaction may be a little bit different, for instance, at Facebook, you have people leaving comments on your wall or wanting you to respond, or they say thumbs up or thumbs down to a post. On Twitter, yes, you don't get that, but they still want you to be the same. So don't be cool and like a valley girl or a teenager on Facebook and be like a pinstripe suit person on Twitter. It just doesn't make sense. You have one corporate image. So I think even though Web Weiner, the CEO of LinkedIn, suggested that, I think he's out to lunch. This doesn't really work. And as I said in one of my tweets, it takes 10 years to build your reputation. It takes 5 minutes to destroy it. So please be careful. The background blog post, you can see that below. Then maybe another thing is you can download the slides. I won't give you the link because I want you to go later and download the slides and see the additional material. There will be a follow-up email which you will get with all the links, because I decided that having to copy the links and you for having to keep track of them is inconvenient. If you get them all in one email, which you will have by tomorrow morning at the latest, you should be fine. I'm also trying to get an audio file up so that you can actually use it on your iPod or on your iPhone. You can listen to it, to the audio file. We're still working on it. But it might be up. And then you can download a zipped file which has the slide and the audio file for you to make things a little bit easier. You can again get in touch with me, as you know. And here are the upcoming webinars. There's on the 16th, we talk about customer reviews and why they actually can matter, or why a retweet could be important for your brand. And then we also will talk about turning metrics into dollars. I mean, why do you measure this stuff, and what does it really make? What kind of difference does it really make? So we'll address this as well. This kind of concludes this week's webinar. We're still about in 20 minutes, so we're doing quite good with the time. If you have any questions, or if you want to say anything for this, then please do now. Peggy, I see your comment that in Germany you're not allowed to say thank you for following. Right, you have no double in. So what this actually means, but some people in America have said this as well, you do not want to send an automatic... There are programs which allow you to send an automatic direct message to the person who follows you. And in Germany, you're not allowed to do that because it's a direct message and it could be interpreted as spam. And you don't want to take that risks. if you just tweet content, if you just yes, there could be a strategy, but Stan, but then you don't really have an interaction going on. I mean, what you have is you distribute, you use it like a megaphone. You distribute valuable information. Now, if you know that this information is very helpful for your targeted clientele, for your targeted followers, that's a great strategy. But are you sure that you're doing it the right way? I'm not. I don't have an answer. I would have to analyze your Twitter stream. But I sometimes think that if somebody tweets very good content, a good link to a good story that I find my followers would be very interested in getting, I go from the copyright philosophy. I say, give credit where credit is due and acknowledge somebody else's work. And the way I do this is by doing a retweet. So the other one is if you just tweet... you have to make sure that you tweet content which leads back to your blog. So if you just have a web page, the problem is it's static and it doesn't really have new content. If you have a blog, a weblog, then you have interesting new content which your Twitter followers may want to read. But if you find interesting content on other people's blog which are also interesting to your followers, why not tweet it? So that's a very good good strategy. Okay, I'm reading one I think using Identica was out by the way. Identica was basically out at the same time Twitter came, but they had a different philosophy and there wasn't much hype. But the big strategy we have today is we need to make sure that we can find the stuff we put out in space, in cyberspace again. And if Google can't find it, who can find it? I don't know. And so if I want to find a tweet I have sent out 2 months ago and Google cannot find it on Twitter, even though Google paid Twitter to get access to their tweets, then I need to find another strategy. And if it finds it on Identica, that's good enough for me. Another way you can also find your tweet, by the way, but I usually don't do that, is when you have your RSS feed. Your Twitter page has an RSS feed. If you feed that into your Google Reader or into your Mozilla Thunderbird email program, you can search in there. You have all your tweets in, it's then like a mailbox you have in your mail program. You can do the same in Outlook. Then, of course, you have all your tweets. But one of the important things you want, also from compliance, from a compliance point of view, from risk, is you want to make sure that you have access to your past tweets. Although I know this is not really a legal issue. So we're now just about 25 minutes, so I want to wrap this up. I thank you for having attended this webinar. I hope we've answered some of your questions. You get an email by tomorrow morning, which will give you the links on how to download stuff. It will also give you an easy link to just sign up. I would also encourage you to get your colleagues to sign up for the next webinar. And Deborah makes a point about the one-way communication. I think Twitter for me is just the first step in starting a relationship. I said, you know, as I wrote in the blog post which came out this morning, the builder which I talked to, the construction guy which I talked to, said, well, you have to move them to the blog. You have to get the people to really get closer to you. Ultimately, you want to talk to them face to face, and that's probably how I get a new contract to build a garage for a client. I won't get it via Twitter. And I think he was right when he said that. So Twitter is the first step. Often what will happen is somebody follows you on Twitter, but they end up signing up for your blog. They also follow you on Facebook, and then you're starting to get better have better interaction with those people. And then, of course, like you two, Peggy and Stan, you attend the webinars. So that in itself is another example of how relationships can be built. with that positive note, I say thank you and goodbye, and I will now